The goal of this series of messages is to inspire, encourage, and uplift everyone who hears them. That's the goal. You know, we all wrestle, we all wrangle, we all battle in this spiritual warfare, and that is meant to take our attention away from our Creator. The enemy who comes against us wants us to focus on the wrestling and the wrangling and the battling. He wants us to focus our attention on everything and anything but Almighty God. And that's what we are to turn from. We are to turn from the enemy and focus on God. And this is what we're going to see when we look at Gideon and his band of 300. They trusted God. Throughout our lives, we face circumstances that can tempt us to doubt and give up hope. How many of you have ever found yourself in a place of such despair that you wondered if you could hold on to your hope? I know I have at times. And I praise God that He's gotten me through those times. We must bear in mind that Almighty God is there for us always. He is always there. And He's always on time, as we've seen with Abraham and Isaac. Abraham standing over his son Isaac. Isaac submitting himself to this. He's standing over him with the knife in his hand, about to plunge it into his son's chest. And God says, no, we got this. Right at the last moment. And then we looked at Moses and Pharaoh, and we saw that as the Israelites, God put them up against the water, the enemy's bearing down on them, they're in despair. They think this is it, they're dead. And God opens up the water, and they go through on dry ground. Last moment rescue. Now, the rescue with the Israelites and Gideon is not quite so dramatic in that sense. It's not a last minute thing. But they were at the end of their rope, so to speak. They were crying out to God in despair because they needed God's help. They couldn't do it themselves, and they realized they couldn't. God's always on time. And today I pray to impress you with the truth of how God is always on time. He's always there for us. We're going to read and examine the account of Gideon, which is found in the book of Judges. The Israelites were under oppression, great oppression, and God saved them. And every time that we find ourselves in a place of despair, we can trust that God will save us. He'll get us out of it. We're going to begin with chapter 6 to read the call of God upon Gideon. And then we're going to turn to chapter 7 and read the account of God coming through for the Israelites under Gideon's command. So if you would now, I'd like you to open up your Bible to the 6th chapter of Judges. That's on page 171 in the Pew Bible, if you're choosing to use the Pew Bible today. We're going to begin at verse 1 in Judges chapter 6, page 171 in the Pew Bible. We're going to read from verse 1 through verse 16 to start out this message. But before we read, I want us to pray. Heavenly Father, please hear my prayer. God, you know, sometimes I miss the mark. I'm just a human, and I'm being all that I can be with you as my guide. Please cleanse me, Lord, of any wrongful thing. As we proceed into this message, God, I ask that you would forgive all of us. Help us to forsake our sins. I offer myself to you for your use, Lord. Make my mouth to clearly and concisely speak the truth of your word. Please open the ears of everyone who hears this message, Father, whether it be here in the building or via Skype or online or through the CD ministry, and bless them. Bless each and every one, Lord. Bring conviction upon our hearts. Speak into our souls, Father. Deliver us from evil. Steady us as we serve you. Strengthen us to watch and patiently wait for Christ our Redeemer. Thank you for your love and thank you for your mercy and grace. Please anoint everyone who hears these words. Use my preaching in your might. Keep our faith not in the wisdom of men, but in demonstration of your Spirit and your power as it's written in your word. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. Judges chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian, for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. I'm going to pause there for one moment. They cried out to the Lord. They didn't call an assembly and say, well, what should we do? They cried out to the Lord, and this is where we need to be. We need to be those who will turn to God when we are impoverished, when we find ourselves in desperate circumstances. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save in Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word there. Let's now turn to chapter 7. I think that's on the next page in the Pew Bible. We could read the rest of chapter 6, but in the interest of time, we're going to jump over that right now. We're going to cover that another time. We get into chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Harod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself, and likewise everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands. And he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down, go down to the camp with Purah your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Then he went down with Purah his servant to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Let me pause there for a moment. What did the Lord say? If you are afraid to go down, take your buddy Purah with you. And what did he do? He took his buddy Purah with him. So you can see he had a little fear in him, okay? He was afraid. He only had 300 guys. And the number of the Midianites was well over 100,000, nearly 150. Now the Midianites were at verse 12. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, "I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, and it came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." And his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." And so it was, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. These are clay pitchers. They couldn't see through them. And he said to them, "Look at me. And do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" So Gideon and 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. The Midianites turned against each other. They were afraid. And the army fled to Beth Acacia toward Zerah, as far as the border of Abel-Meholah and by Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and seize from them the watering places as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan." And all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. Now remember, they had camels that numbered like the sand on the seashore. They needed water. Cut off the water, they are done. And they captured two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the wine press of Zeb. They pursued Midian, brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. Now we'll let that rest there. We'll end our reading. Trust that God will add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. I want you to remember what's written in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Hope. The patience and the comfort of the Scriptures is to bring us hope. And this is my goal for everyone who hears the messages in this series. I want you to have hope through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Israel had turned away from Almighty God, and God was unhappy with them. So He let them go back into bondage. They were in bondage to the Midianites. Now, the Midianites, you have to remember, Midian was a son of Abraham, that Abraham had with one of his concubines. And Midian had five sons, and those five sons were the progenitors, or the ones that gave forth the tribe of the Midianites, okay? These Midianite people. They came from Abraham's, they were Abraham's descendants. And so were the Israelites. The Israelites were Abraham's descendants through Israel. They were the called people of God. But these others, they were Abraham's offspring, and they were numerous. But here they are fighting against their cousins, all right? They took over. God allowed them to go into captivity, in a sense, because they were in bondage. They couldn't grow their crops. They couldn't raise their animals. They had very little to eat. They were oppressed deeply, and they were crying out to God. The Midianites had reduced them into extreme poverty and forced them to hide. They were in the caves and the holes. They were hiding out from them, okay? They were at the end of their ability to tolerate it anymore. They couldn't handle it. They were done. Have you ever gotten to that place where you're just done? You throw up your hands and say, I can't take it anymore. I can't do this anymore. God help me. I can't go on. And when we do that, when we get to that place, God hears us. He calls us to Himself. Now for them, He told them, look, I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of bondage. But then what'd you do? You went back into idolatry. You start worshiping these false gods again. And God says, you've got to repent of that. You've got to turn away from that. You've got to come back to Him. That's what He told them. They were on the wrong path. They were doing the wrong thing. And He said, straighten up. I'm going to help you, but you need to straighten up. This is what He told them. And so these people, they're crying out to God. And God said, okay, I'll help you. Gather up an army. So he gathered up an army. But he told Gideon he had to condemn their idolatry. And then he could save them out of the hands of the Midianites. He couldn't just, okay, all right, go ahead, go on with your sin. You just go on sinning and it's okay. You can just keep on sinning and I'll help you anyway, because after all, I love you and I'm a God of love. God said, you got to quit the sinning. He sent a man to tell him that. Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to hide the little bit of food that they had from the Midianites. He didn't want them to confiscate it. Verse 12 relates Almighty God's reply by His messenger. He told Gideon, the Lord is with thee, O mighty man of valor. Now, Gideon was no mighty man of valor, not by any means at all. In fact, he admitted it. He said, I'm the least in my family, and my family doesn't have any clout. We don't have any. We can't. How are we going to do this? What are you talking about? Did Gideon jump up and down rejoicing? Woohoo! Yeah, God's with me. Yeah, we're going to go. We're going to win the battle. No! He asked a valid question for a man that was in that kind of oppression. He said, if God is with us, how come we're in this trouble? Where's He at? That's what he was saying. He did all these miracles. Where are they at? Where's the miracles that our fathers tell us that God brought them out of Egypt? Where's these miracles at? Why are we so oppressed? They were oppressed for 7 years, according to the Scripture. Can you imagine being under that kind of oppression for 7 years? 7 years of struggling to have food? 7 years of hiding out in the rocks and the caves? Can't even live in your own house? I mean, think about it. They were oppressed. Gideon said, but now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. He told it straight to God. Okay, now I don't know if I have the nerve to do that. You know, if God says, rise up, O man of valor, I'm going to say, okay, what do you want me to do? I'm not going to call God into question. I don't have it like that. I just don't. I'm sorry. But Gideon apparently was cut from a different cloth. And we hear Almighty God tell Gideon to go because He would be with him to overcome their oppressors. Now that I can go for. God says, I'm with you. Oh, wait a minute. Wasn't it Jesus who said, yeah, I'll be with you even to the end of the age? Huh? Woo! He is with us. Yeah.
Gideon expresses his limited view of himself. He doesn't have any clout. His family doesn't have any clout. How are we going to do this, God? How are we going to take down the mighty Midianites? But he couldn't see what God could see. And neither can we. When we get into those places where we are in absolute despair, we cannot see what God can see. And we've got to remember that. When God says, go, we have to go. We have to walk by faith, not by sight, because what we're seeing is not what God is seeing. He sees the whole picture. He sees the beginning from the end, the left from the right, the up from the down. He sees it all. And when he tells us to go, we need to go. We need to do what he says. We need to go where he says. We need to say what he says. We need to be who he says to be. Because that's what he wants from us. Gideon didn't see himself as a mighty warrior. No, he said, I'm not a mighty warrior. And God said, I'm going to be with you. And our Creator always knows what we're capable of with his help. He always knows what we're capable of. We just need to say yes. Yes, Lord. I will go where you want me to go. Yes, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. Yes, Lord, I will say what you want me to say. Yes, Lord, I submit, I surrender, I yield to you. That's what he wants. As we pick up in chapter 7 there, we learn that Gideon gathered an army to battle those Midianites. And, you know, he must have been thinking, yeah, we got 32,000 guys, we're ready. We're going to go knock them out. They had swords, they had torches, you know, they had some weapons. But these people were beaten down. They were oppressed. They were hungry. These weren't a fat group, okay? These weren't the big, mighty, muscular guys because they hadn't eaten well in 7 years, all right? Think about that. This is a group of people who for 7 years have been scratching out the minimal amount of food that they needed to survive. They were discouraged, and they were fearful, and God knew it. So God gave them a way out. He said to Gideon, okay, you got too many guys here. Tell you what, tell them whoever's afraid or anxious can go home. More than two-thirds of the guys jump up and run home right off the bat. 22,000. So now he's got it chopped down to 10,000 men. 10-1 odds. Well, it could happen, right, in human terms, with the right strategy. But you know, God didn't want the Israelites to brag on their ability because he knew their hearts. He knew their hearts. He knew that if they won with a good crew of guys, they were going to take the credit for themselves. They were going to worship themselves because they knew they were the ones that did it. So God told Gideon to give them another way out. And you know, as I was putting this message together, I got to thinking, the church does this a lot of times. When God puts them into a test, two-thirds take off. Right off the bat. Right off the bat. And then God says, well, we're going to trim it down just a little bit more, just so you know that it's not you that's doing it. Wait a minute, didn't something like that happen here? When we go through a battle, God had two-thirds run off right off the bat. And then more took off. God says, no, we don't need all of them. What we need is a core group who will obey what I want. Yeah. So now he had this army of fearless men, right? He had 10,000 guys. They're fearless. They're men of valor. They're going to fight to the death. God says, no, we're going to cut that deeper. So I'd bring them to the water for a drink, and there he'd discern who would stay and who would go. Now, I got to thinking about this. Why? How would this thing of the water, how would that discern who is a better warrior? The majority of the guys got down on their face. They weren't even watching. But the other guys, they scooped up, and they're drinking out of the water as they're watching, okay? They had their heads up, not down in the water. God says, that's the guys for me. You're going to go with those guys. The ones that keep their heads up. The ones that are not afraid of anything. So he discerned that those 300 men would be the ones. Man,
a mighty task ahead of them. More than 100,000 troops, 300 guys. In human terms, 300 guys are not going to take out 100,000 people or more. But in verse 9, we learn that God sent Gideon to sneak into their camp. He heard that dream and the interpretation of it. He bowed down and worshiped before God. And then he returned to the camp and told them, "Arise, for Almighty God has given the camp to us." He's given it to us. And what happened? Did those 300 guys run the other way? No. They did exactly what God said to do. He told them to follow their lead. They had the horn trumpets, you know, the shofars, the ram's horns. That's what they were blowing. Now, I don't know what 300 ram's horns would sound like, the camp of 100,000 or more surrounded, but I imagine it must have made a pretty loud racket in the middle of the night, okay? And when they busted those clay vases or jars or whatever they were, they had the fire in them, suddenly there was light all around the camp. And when those Midianites got hit with that light, they saw that light out there in the distance. They thought they were already overrun. They started fighting each other, killing each other in the dark. Right there, because they were afraid. Because Almighty God instilled fear in the enemies of the Israelites. And don't we know that God will instill fear in those that oppose Him when He sets us to a task? Don't we know that God still is the same God today as He was yesterday? He hasn't changed. And then they summoned all these other guys from all over the countryside and said, "Block off the waterways." They ended up killing the leaders of the Midianites and brought the heads of the princes to Gideon. God brought victory at a time when the people thought it was done. They couldn't take anymore. They were overrun. They ran out of options and they cried out to Him. And this was the end of their ability to tolerate the oppression. It's like when the Israelites found themselves between the water and the army, right? God swooped in to save them, opened up a path. Remember, God said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is an army of 130,000 guys too hard for 300 guys when the Lord is with them? No. He shows us that. And you have to ask this question of yourself every time you find yourself in circumstances that require more than you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And turn to God. If He could help an army of 300 overcome an army that numbered more than 100,000, He can help you. They were facing 45-1 odds. I did the math. 45-1 odds, okay? I'm not a betting man, but I'd bet that was just a little bit beyond their ability to do it on their own. But God saved them. And He can deliver each and every one who listens to Him, hears from His word, hears His voice. He can deliver us, folks. He can deliver each and every one of you if you turn to Him. If you believe it. Remember, God made sure Gideon and his crew were outnumbered. God made sure they were outnumbered. God did that. God sent the 22,000 away. God sent the rest but 300 away. You think Gideon was afraid? He took his buddy down to the camp, didn't he? Yeah, of course he was afraid. And they were probably all afraid, but they still went by faith. And see, faith doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to have that intuitive fear within you that says this is a bad situation. But what it does is it helps you to override that fear, to walk by faith and do what it is that God wants you to do. Almighty God shows us in His Word, obedience in spite of the potential consequences is the evidence of real faith. The potential consequences were that those 300 guys were going to be wiped out. That's the potential. But they obeyed anyway. You have to remember, God's unpredictable too. And sometimes, like I was telling Maddie a little earlier, He comes through at the 11th hour. At the last possible moment. When you just can't take any more. When you get to the end of the rope and all you got left is a string to hold on to, and God says, "Let go." Have faith and let go. You know, sometimes we have to remember, we have to place our faith in God, not in any created beings. Our Creator enjoys seeing the faith that His children have when it's placed in Him. He enjoys rewarding those who honestly seek Him and want to have their faith increased. Do you want to have your faith increased? Yeah, I've prayed for God to increase my faith, and you know what He's given me? Opportunities to exercise it. You know, weightlifters lift weights to build muscle on their bodies, right? They've got to exercise those muscles to get them to build. Well, the same is true with our faith. We have to exercise it so that it grows. It won't grow without exercise. And sometimes those exercises are, like I mentioned last week, boot camp. We're going through a tough time, and God's strengthening us for further tough times sometimes. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear it's all going to go good, because after all, we've given our heart to the Lord, and we're going to follow Him wherever He leads, except if it gets tough, right? That's what a lot of people do. I'll follow you wherever you go, Jesus, except there. We can't see or know what He does unless He tells us, and very often we don't believe Him even when He does tell us. We cannot see the hand of the Lord working in our lives. He loves to swoop in at the end of a situation that seems to be going to end badly, no matter what. He loves to swoop in and pull us out of harm to victory. When you find yourself crying out to God, "Where are you? Where are you, God?" Remember, it's your chance to grow closer to Him. You can grow nearer to Him. These are great opportunities to grow in intimacy and trust in your provider, Jehovah Jireh, as the Bible refers to Him. Taking your needs to Him will teach you God's character. He's our provider, and therefore, we simply must trust Him. He's our provider. Trust Him. He's our provider. Trust Him. They were starving, and they finally turned to God and said, "God, we can't take it anymore." They turned to Him, and He made a way out for them. Was it, just snap His fingers, bing, okay, the Midianites all fell dead? No. They had to do something. They had to actively participate in the process that God laid out so that He would bring victory and glory to His name. Taking your needs to Him will teach you God's character. And I'm going to wrap this up real quick. He's our provider. Trust Him. Trust Him to provide. He wants to show you who He is. He really does, folks. And yes, sometimes He wants to show you who He is through last minute 45-1 odds. Okay? Trust Him. Count on Him. Call upon Him. Operate as He directs and know that He is always on time. When we look at Lazarus, we're going to see, even though Jesus was what they thought 4 days late, He was still on time. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Oh God, we thank You. We know You love surprising us with the unpredictable or even seemingly impossible endings. And God, sometimes when we're in it, though, it's hard to say, "Woohoo! Praise God, He's with us." God, but we need Your help. We need Your help to help us, Lord. We know that You enjoy rewarding us when we honestly seek You. We know that You enjoy increasing our faith. Help us, Lord. We believe. Help us with our disbelief. God, we know that Gideon and his men were outnumbered, and You made the way. You even made that group smaller. But You won the battle. You're our provider. Help us to trust You to provide. Help us, Father. Even when we get down to the last moments, help us to realize that even when the odds are far greater against us than for us, that You are there. And we can simply do what You tell us to do, and we can know that You are always on time. Help us to have that kind of faith, Lord. And we pray this in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, Amen. All right. Well, how about we close with a hymn here? We have a story to tell to the nations, number 423. 4:23, we've a story to tell to the nations.